Welcome to the Weekly Leader Podcast, episode number 55. I'm Peter Mello from Sea Fever Consulting and the founder and editor of the Weekly Leader blog and podcast. And my usual podcasting partner is Pam Fox Rollin from IdeaShape. She's very busy this week, so I had to make a call out to another friend. And we are fortunate to have Wally Bach from 3-Star Leadership here with us today. Wally, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Peter. I am excited to be here. I'm a host. I'm so thrilled.
It's about time. You were a guest once briefly, but it's great to have you as a co-host today. So that's really cool. And we've really appreciated all your contributions over the past couple months, giving us a look into the independent business blogs and their look at leadership. So thank you very much for that. So there might be somebody who didn't hear that podcast where you talked a little bit about who you are and what you do. So why don't you give us a little update now?
Okay, well, as advertised, I'm Wally Bach, and what I do is I write, speak, consult, and coach about the things that make bosses more effective. So what I'm concerned with is everything that goes into whatever you want to call it, leadership or management or supervision, and the other things in life that make somebody responsible for a group better able to do what they do and better able to live the life they've got to live. That's pretty much it.
Keeps you busy, I'm sure.
It does.
Tell us, where do we find you on the web?
You can find me on the web on the blog, which is called 3-Star Leadership, and which is at http://, blog.3starleadership, all spelled out like one word, .com. And that's the gateway to everything else that I do.
Wally, we have a sponsor on the podcast, and it's GoToMeeting. Are you familiar with GoToMeeting?
I am. GoToMeeting is super good.
Yeah, so we appreciate them sponsoring us and podcast listeners, Weekly Leader listeners. You have the benefit of a 45-day free trial over at gotomeeting.com/podcast. And we've talked about this time and again, but summer's coming here. It's probably a good time to stay home and enjoy your local surroundings and not have to wrestle with people in airports, right? Lots of families and small kids and traveling about in airports. And if you're a business person, that always is a challenge, isn't it? So you can get a lot of work done. You can get it done effectively, efficiently, and economically by using a tool like GoToMeeting. And one of the great things about GoToMeeting is they're such experts at this. They have this down pat. It's really reliable piece of software. And if you're going to work with clients over the internet, you need stuff you can really trust. So check it out, gotomeeting.com/podcast. You get a 45-day free trial. All the bells and whistles are there, and I definitely think you'll enjoy it. So check it out.
Okay, I want to add my endorsement to that.
Excellent.
Because I have used it several times because I have clients who use it. And we all save on a bunch of things. I loved it. Yeah, no 3-year-olds in airports. No, oh my God, it's the thunderstorm and I'm in Atlanta. How do I get home to Charlotte? Kind of thing. But you also have the advantage that you have your stuff with you. And for me, that makes a huge difference. I don't have to worry about what to take or what to transport. We do the meeting, but I'm at home as well as wherever the meeting is all at the same time. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Leadership in the news is something we do every week, but you know what? We've been beating a dead horse a bit with this BP oil spill thing, so we're going to take a week off and come back next week and talk about that probably again and maybe some other items. We're going to jump right into our website of the week, Social Media Minute, and since we have you live, we're going to benefit by talking to you a little bit about what you found this week for us to read on the web. So what do you got?
Well, as always, this was a particularly interesting week. When I started doing this some years ago, I sometimes had trouble coming up with 5 great posts to add to the mix. And most weeks now, I'm cutting down from somewhere between 10 and 15 excellent posts based on the fit for my audience, which is working bosses. And this week was no exception. There's a phenomenal post called Dear CEO, It's Me, Your Most Valuable Asset. It's the letter that all kinds of people have wanted to write. Some people have written and never sent. Other people have sent and had their CEO ignore it. It's just a great post and a great way to start. Then we go to Compensation Cafe for the second pick.
Who wrote the first one, Wally? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
I'm not sure of the pronunciation of her name, but I believe it's Shari Klimek.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
And we'll, we're gonna
Jerry,
have.
if it's wrong, I apologize. I should have checked it out before we talked.
Oh, no problem. We're going to actually have a link to Wally's post in our show notes that has links to all of these great posts, so you'll be able to follow that trail.
Okay. My second pick was at Compensation Cafe, and it's Ann Bars, who posts there and at Compensation Force. Her post is called, "It Takes a Village, or at least Coordination Across Disciplines, to Solve Today's Workplace Challenges." And that's both a great lesson and a great post. Ann pulls a lot of things together in her posts, and this is a good example of it. My third pick was from one of my regulars, almost, Art Petty, in his Management Excellence blog. He did a great post called "Word Selection of Journeyman Leaders." And I like two pieces of this. One is I like the idea of a journeyman. I like the idea that if leadership is an apprentice trade, eventually you get to being a journeyman. But I also like the idea that word choice is kind of your toolkit. If you do conversations as the core of being a boss, then the words you use are the most important thing. And that's what Art talks about.
Mm.
Fourth one is from one of what I think is one of the great living experts on the workplace, a fellow named Aubrey Daniels. And his post is called, "Should Performance Be Measured Daily?" And what Aubrey thinks is that everybody should work at a place where every day they know how they're doing and how they're doing so far. And I totally agree with that. Where he and I come apart a little bit is that he sees a technological challenge to that, and I want to stay away from technology because I find that most really good supervisory conversations are informal, not formal, which means they're not written down and recorded, and yet that keeping people up with how they're doing happens nonetheless.
Great.
My last one is from one of my all-time favorite bloggers, Bob Sutton. And Bob has a post called "The Wise Boss, More Evidence for Expressing Confidence but Harboring Private Doubts," which is, I think, anything that anybody who's in a leadership position can be connected mm-hmm. to. You do your research, you make your decision, you announce it, and there's some part deep inside you that says, oh, my God, I wonder if this is going to work. But you can't let that show because that becomes the seeds of its own destruction. And what I love about Bob is that he presents a lot of research with this. I don't know the research, but I found a really neat quote from Robert Louis Stevenson that said, "Keep your fears to yourself, but share your courage," which pretty much sums it up. And that was the five for this week, Peter.
That's excellent. Bob Sutton is one of my all-time favorite bloggers. Glad he's made this week's list. Tell us a little bit about the process. I mean, how many posts do you end up reading, do you think, to come to these five every week?
I can't tell you the number of posts. I scan about 130 blogs.
Okay.
Now, out of that, there's about 20 that I know are good all the time. And it's just a matter of what they're writing about that week. Art Petty or Bob Sutton would be great examples of that. They always do good stuff. The question is, how does it fit?
Sure.
And particularly Bob, when he's on his game, his post is the post of the week. I mean, you can almost say, okay, this one's worth five. Let's go with it. But we go through a lot of blog posts, and I try to narrow it down through the week as I do it. Usually that leaves me with 10 to 15 posts that I need to cut to five.
Do you use a blog reader or something? Do you use Google?
I do.
Reader
I use Google is my preferred reader.
Okay.
I like the way they handle folders and tags and so forth. I also use a program called Inspiration, which was developed as a mind mapping software, but I use it for organizing things like this because I can cut and paste and move things around, and it works perfect for me. What's happening now is that there are so many good bloggers out there, and that's a huge improvement from even 2 years ago, that now to come down to five, it's really, I've got 10 excellent posts. What are the five best fits for working bosses? And so for me, it's been great. And I get to read all this stuff, which is fun too.
What else do we find over there at your blog, by the way?
Well, you'll find there's the midweek blog. There's another regular post every week. At the beginning of the week, I do something of five choice articles from business consultants, college professors, academic journals, and so forth to start the week. And I usually try to add some stuff to that. There's usually other posts and so forth. That's number one. We do a book review about 30, 35 times a year, depending on how I'm doing with the books. And most of the rest of the stuff is opinion pieces, which is fun for me because I was given an opinion when I was very young, and I've kept reusing it and sharpening it.
There you go. Well, that's good. Obviously, I'm familiar with what's over there, but I was wanted to make sure our listeners were too. So, thank you for giving us a kind of a quick tour of Three Star Leadership. Do you have an iPhone?
No.
You don't. You're one of the few people
Well,
probably out there.
here's my deal. I figure Apple will not let me change the battery in my iPod.
No.
Okay? And I don't want to have anything like that with a phone. I just don't. Now, that may change, you know. I'm pretty sure that my next phone is going to be a little more sophisticated than my current phone. And I'm pretty sure that I'm going to at least consider an iPhone. But unless they change their current carrier, iPhone is never going to be a choice for me. And I'd really love it if they'd also let me change my battery.
Yeah, they're not big into letting people change things about what they do.
Well, I've been watching these guys since it was Steve and Steve. Way long ago. I remember the Apple One, so it's this is nothing new in terms of the way Steve Jobs runs his operation. And because he is what I think is the single best CEO ever at product development and bringing things to market that matter and change things, he can get away with a bunch of other stuff.
Well, the reason I ask is I do have an iPhone, and so does Pam, and so do about millions and millions of other people, and more people this week are going to be getting actually the new iPhone 4, so that's pretty exciting. And there are a bunch of apps on the iPhone. I have more apps than Carter has pills on my iPhone, but I thought we're going to start talking a little bit about some that are leadership focused. And we actually were working on an iPhone app months ago. We worked with a company, and I think they went bust on us because they got an Android version out there, and from what I hear, that stopped working recently, and they never were able to kind of figure out the iPhone one, although they had a number of other customers. Ours just never got to work. Had something to do with the success of the podcast demanded so much bandwidth, and I think it's that issue between Apple and AT&T and so on. But anyway, that's all water under
There's not enough bandwidth in this town for both of us.
Yeah, I guess podcasts are just too successful. So anyway, wanted to maybe each week or every other week, we're going to talk a little bit about an iPhone app that might be useful from the leadership perspective. And the first one that we're going to review is comes to us from Giant Impact, which is the company John C. Maxwell is involved with. And it's an interesting app. And I think what I'm going to do too in the next few days is actually do a little screencast, do a little video of it so I can show people what we're talking about here. But when you come into the app, it's called the Leadership App by Giant Impact. It's typical of most iPhone apps in that it presents different forms of media to you here. So we have blog posts, we have videos, and we have some audio, some podcasts. And just to give you an idea, there's an interview here in video format with Bill George, who's the author of True North, might be familiar with. There's some blog posts here by John C. Maxwell himself. And most recently, there's an interview here. It's a video interview with Dr. Henry Cloud. There's lots of advertising on this app, particularly advertising things that Giant Impact does. And most people are probably familiar. They put on a lot of seminars, webinars, seminars around the country. And there's a whole tab here that's focused on their events. They have Actually, I'm looking at it June 23rd. They currently have one in Austin, Texas, 360 degree leader workshop in Atlanta, Georgia, September 16th to 17th. So you can kind of look at these things and I guess register, get more information about each one of these. There's a phone number there, and you can get information about each one of these workshops. They also have a private Maximum Impact Club members. I'm not a club member, so I don't have access to this area, but it looks like if you are members and this connects to their website, you would get some premium content. So you can connect to them through Twitter and Facebook as well through this app. So it's a pretty interesting app, and particularly I think what's interesting is the audio and videos that come here. There's an interview with Lee Iacocca, and if you have an iPhone, download it. It's free, and I think it's worth it. So give it a shot. And get yourself an iPhone or an Android. So you can enjoy some of these things, Wally.
I'm a simple man, Peter, and too many things make me confused.
Well, you're not alone. That's why the iPhone works, actually, though. Funny you say that. My father is 76, and he's never ever had any interest in touching a computer of any sort. My mother sits there on her laptop in the evening and surf all over the internet. My dad saw my iPad and he wanted one, and now he's like in it with his own iPad. And we got him one of the 3G versions. He can take it with him. He's a real estate agent, a real estate broker, and he can take it with him and check his email and bring up pictures of listings, and it's simple and he likes it. And I never thought I'd see the day where he would actually be using technology, but he is, and he seems to be enjoying it. So this week we don't have a weekly leader, but we thought we'd talk to you about something that you just brought to my attention, and it's a new book called Ruthless Focus. Tell us a little bit about what that is.
Well, it's a book that I wrote with Tom Hall, and Tom is a very successful advertising guy and PR guy and the head of Partnership for a Drug-Free Florida for a very successful time. And the book is called Ruthless Focus: How to Use Key Core Strategies to Grow Your Business. What happened was Tom had done some research that he brought to me where he'd looked at the standard, what separates the high-growth companies from the other companies. But because he got tied up in the Partnership for a Drug-Free Florida, what happened between when he did the research and when we started looking at stuff was about 10 years. And in that 10 years, many of those high-flying, super great examples disappeared. In fact, about two-thirds of them literally disappeared. They were bought up by somebody else. They went out of business and stuff. And so we started looking at the ones that were left and changed the focus of the book to: what is it that companies do? What kind of strategies do they have for the ones that really seem to last a long time? And we looked at something like Walmart, for example. Walmart and Kmart and Target all started in 1962, essentially at the same time with a whole bunch of other discounters. Walmart is the largest company in the world. Kmart is pretty much on life support. Target is somewhere in between. What's the difference? Is it the strategy? And it turned out that the answer is no, it's not the strategy. Companies like Walmart, like Enterprise Rent-A-Car, like Nucor Steel, like Avnet, which is an electronics wholesaler, they all have a strategy, but A, it's very simple, it can be explained easily, and B, they stick with it. They don't keep looking for the newest thing that's out there. And we've looked at one company, a company out of Covington, Kentucky, called Atkins and Pierce, that has been in business since the James Monroe administration. And they've changed strategy a couple of times, but not much. And they've stayed the same in the textile business in the U.S. with U.S. workers successful today using a simple strategy that they concentrate on, that they have a ruthless focus on.
Interesting. And how does that fit with the concept that's so hot now with innovation? Is you kind of have ruthless focus? Does it at all threaten innovation to have?
I don't think it does. Let's pull this apart a little bit. There are two ways that people talk about innovation. One is the creative destruction kind of thing. What do you do if your market is changing? And what you do then is you actually have to change. And that's the Atkins and Pierce example. But for most of these other companies, that doesn't happen. So then the question is, how do you innovate? You know, does this affect innovation? And the answer is no. In fact, it makes it better because you don't have people who are always adapting to a new strategy. Mm-hmm. So at Nucor, for example, there are what they call innovation bins out behind every plant with ideas that didn't work that somebody tried. So somebody can go out and try something again and use it. And there's an encouragement to get stuff to work. And because you have a stable strategy that you keep a ruthless focus on, you also have a stable workforce. And when they're not worrying about whether or not they're going to have a job, what they worry about is how to do the job better. And that's really the secret behind places like public supermarkets, enterprise. I've mentioned Walmart. We talked about Amazon as a technology company, but Nucor as a technology company. Zara's a fast fashion place based in rural Spain. Mm-hmm. It's focus more than a particular strategy. It's a simple strategy, and it's also a focus, a ruthless focus on the business basics.
Interesting. And what about Apple? Do they fall into this?
Well, we purposely didn't look at Apple. And the reason was that Apple was like the hot product. I find it more fascinating to look at a steel company as an exemplar of somebody who builds competitive advantage through technology. Mm-hmm. Because that's the place people don't think it can be done. I think at Apple, you have to look at a couple of things. You have to look at Apple pre the return of Steve Jobs and post the return of Steve Jobs, because they're very different companies. And for my money, the post return Apple has a focus on developing innovative electronic or chip based products that make people happy. Mm-hmm. And so where they've built their business is not so much on the MacBook stuff, although they've gotten growth there, but around the iPod and the iPhone and the iPad and who knows what next.
Sure. Interesting. What any quick lessons that you want to share with us from the book, that how we acquire a ruthless focus?
I would say, if you want one core lesson, if you think of a strategy as a shelf full of planning books, that's not what we found. Mm-hmm. What you need to be able to do is take whatever your strategy is and put it in a sentence or two. And then you go out and find a 15-year-old to test it on, because 15-year-olds are absolutely fearless. They don't care anything about business, and they already know you're dumb.
Okay.
But if you can give your strategy to someone who really doesn't much care about what you do, and they can get it, you've got a good one, and it'll work.
Great. Well, where can we find the book?
The book is on Amazon. It's called Ruthless Focus. As of this morning, you could buy the book there, but you couldn't see the really cool cover. But if you go to the blog and use the form and say, "God, Wally, I have to see the cover, I'll never buy the book," I'll send you a copy of the cover.
Okay. You send me a copy of the cover, too, and we'll have it as the show art for this podcast. So anybody who sees this will see your cover of your book.
And they'll say, "Man, I got to buy that.
I got to buy that." Let's just do the questions we typically do with our weekly leaders with you.
I didn't prepare for these.
Ah, that's okay. What are you currently reading?
What am I currently reading? I'm reading a couple of things. I'm reading books for review, which we won't talk about. My current other reading is John Keegan's History of the American Civil War, which is phenomenal. And I'm about to start the Stieg Larsson trilogy of mysteries, I guess it is. The girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yeah, that's very popular, isn't it? Huh.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, my wife devoured all three, one right after the other. And while she is a reader, that's a rare occurrence. So those are my two big things right now.
My wife is listening to it on Audible, so interesting. And if we know you're a busy guy and you don't have a lot of time, we can arrange for you to have lunch one day, just an hour or so, with any historical or contemporary figure to discuss leadership. Who would that be, and what would you want to take away from the experience?
Could I have more than one?
Yeah.
Can I invite two guys to lunch?
You can, yes.
Okay. The two guys I would like to invite to lunch are Dwight Eisenhower and Arthur Wellesley, the Duke of Wellington.
Okay, and what do you want to get from that?
Well, both of them managed large, complex things that there was never a real a precedent for when they did it. And Wellesley started out in India, then up the peninsula, and ultimately defeating Napoleon at Waterloo. Eisenhower, of course, in World War II as the supreme commander in Europe and later as president. And both of them were incredibly successful with very straightforward kinds of approaches. And I would just like to hear them talk to each other. I'm wondering what kind of tips the Duke would give Ike and what kind of critiques Ike would give the Duke.
Interesting. Well, that sounds like it, for an author like you, it sounds like that's good material for a book.
It could be, yes. Leadership Secrets of the Duke of Wellington.
There you go. So, Wally, you did your five picks this week, but what we didn't hear from you was a question of the week. Do you have one of those?
I do. You and I had talked earlier about how there was way too much BP in the news, so it wasn't worth really talking about, but I think it's a good question. And I think the question that I'd like to have people think about this week is, what is there that you can learn from the entire event, from the stuff leading up to the Deepwater Horizon disaster, from the handling of it afterwards, from anything that you want to pull out of it? What one thing will you do differently having been witness to it, to the BP Deepwater Horizon disaster?
Great. I actually linked to I think it was an HBR post on Weekly Leader. I linked to it that the question was, are you prepared for your own Deepwater Horizon? I think that's what it was. So I think it's a good question. I think we all have that potentially out there. And we give you lots of ways to get in touch with us, and probably the quickest and best way is to go over to the website, which is weeklyleader.net, and find the podcast post and give us some feedback about what you heard here, what you'd like to hear in the future. And go visit Wally's blog, which is 3starleadership.com. Is that right?
Did I get that right? Blog.3starleadership.com.
Blog.3starleadership.com. Okay, great. And we'll have a link to that in the show notes, obviously. So check it out. There's a tremendous amount of information, very valuable, useful stuff over there. Wally does a lot of work to make our lives easier as leaders, so check it out. Email us at podcast@weeklyleader.net, and if you wanted to participate in the show with an audio comment, we'd love to hear from you. Attach an MP3 file of 5 meg or less, and we'll find a way to integrate it into the show. You can like us on Facebook. We'd love to have you like us. And you can find us on Twitter as well. And Weekly Leader is at Weekly Leader. Wally, what's your Twitter ID? You're a prolific Twitterer. What's your Twitter ID?
At Wally Bock, WallyBock.
Great. Definitely follow Wally. And I am Peter Mello. That's PETERMELLO. And all of our other contributors' Twitter IDs, including Pam, which is PamFR, will be in the show notes. If you use iTunes, please rate and review the podcast and give us a recommendation there, because it gets us more listeners, and that's a good thing. And we also really appreciate it when you support our sponsors, GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting.com/podcast for a 45-day free trial. Check it out. You won't be disappointed. And also on the sidebar of the blog, we have a Wall Street Journal widget. If you don't subscribe, think about doing it through there. If you do, it supports the podcast, and we appreciate that very much. We know how valuable your time is, and we really appreciate you investing it with us, and we look forward to being with you again next week. And Wally, I really appreciate you stepping in like this and helping us out, and look forward to doing this sometime again soon.
Well, it's been great fun, Peter, and I'm sure we will do it again soon.
Yeah, and great, and good luck and great success with the book.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Hi, this is Graham Hollingsworth from Guitar. I'm proud to be a PodSafe artist.